You know, it's interesting that we can write appointments in our calendar for 2021, but we actually don't know at this point whether we'll actually achieve that or accomplish that. You know, we can make as many forward plans as we want. We can write as many advanced dates in our diary. But the only day that we're guaranteed is today. And that's why for me, it's really important to be listening to God's word. It's really important to be writing out what God has spoken. It's really important to be applying what God has said to our life today. Because the rest, we might write in hope. But today we've been given. And so we're able to meditate upon all that God has spoken. If you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is where we're going to look. Particularly, we're going to look at the second part of that psalm from verses 7 through to 14. But Psalm 19 is the verse, the psalm that we're going to read this morning, this first Sunday of 2021. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." That's the title that the ESV gives to this psalm, and it's written for the choir master, a psalm of David. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Let's just pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you that your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, we thank you that you have spoken, and we pray that you would make us this year a people who would listen to your word, who would take note of your word, and who would put into practice every word that you would speak into our lives. We pray, Lord our God, that as we turn to this psalm just now, you would open up our eyes and our minds and our hearts to see and to receive and to apply. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, I want just for a little while this morning to encourage us to be those who read and who believe and who put into practice everything that God has spoken. You know, I'm very thankful for the many ways in which God has made himself known, in which God has manifest himself to us. You know, we're just coming out of Christmas, and we had a great time in Advent. We were looking at a very unusual Advent, but a big part of it was looking at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God makes himself known in our Lord Jesus Christ, the one we call the Logos, the Word. But God makes himself known in creation. God makes himself known in the gathering of his people and the church. God speaks to us in the place of prayer. And God makes himself known in his Word. God has given to us the riches of Holy Scripture that he might speak into our hearts and into our lives. You know, C.S. Lewis, the great writer and the great professor of literature and of language and of poetry, C.S. Lewis said of this psalm, he said, "I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter." Now think about that for a minute. 150 psalms there are, and Lewis coming to that, yes, as a Christian, but coming to that also as one who studied the intricacy of language, said this is the greatest poem in the Psalter. But then he also said this. He said, "And one of the greatest lyrics in the world." Now, there's a number of us here who are musicians and songwriters. And there's many of us here who are worshippers. We love to come and to magnify and glorify our God. But again, think about that. One of the greatest lyrics in the world. That's why so much of the Psalter is really sung hymn. In fact, if you look at the title that was given to the choir master, that the people in actual fact might take this incredible lyric and sing it out to the praise of God. And so often when I get involved in that discipline of writing out the Word of God, I actually find myself associating a hymn with that verse and singing it as well. And so again, you know, we find when we open up Psalm 19 that David, the psalmist here, is looking at the way in which God has spoken in creation and the way in which God has spoken in his Word. Now, if you turn the clock back a couple of years, 2018, Cal Morrison, in our evening series, when we're looking at the Psalms, was looking at Psalm 19. And most of you who know Cal will know that he is a space nut. I don't mean by that that's a description of his character and personality, although it might well be. But at the end of the day, most of you who know Cal will know that in actual fact, he's wild about space. He would love to have been an astronaut. He would love to, you know, don the suit, get in a rocket and go there, right? And if you turn back a couple of years, and you can do this on the website, and listen to the first part of his sermon on Psalm 19, you'll find that it just plays straight in to his love of space. In actual fact, he talks about, you know, the distance that, you know, we are from anything else, and he talks about hurtling through space at outrageous speeds, and he just talks about the magnificence of God's creation. Well, that's beautiful in itself, and for that reason, I don't want to spend any time on those opening six verses. What I do want to do is just for a little while get us to focus on verses 7 through to 14. And what I want to do right at the start of this year is encourage every one of us to do one simple thing. And I promise you that it's only one thing, and I promise you that in actual fact it's simple. And here it is: to commit to being in the Word of God every day. To commit to reading the Word of God every day. Now, I'm not going to hand you a big Bible reading plan where you've got to work your way through the whole of it. I'm not going to say to you, you know, read four chapters a day, and I'm not going to say to you, do it chronologically. And I'm not going to say any of that. You choose whichever way you're going to do it. I work with a Bible reading plan that does take me through three, four, five chapters a day. But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is commit to at least being in the Word for a little while every day. And if you so desire, notice I said, the one thing I want is that you commit to being in the Word of God every day. If you so desire, write it out. Because when you write it out, you remember it. And you apply it to your life. And so I really want to encourage us in this simple message just to do that. If more of us go away and commit before God to being in His Word every day, then this message will have borne fruit. Why should we do that? Let me just encourage you with a few reasons as to why. David, when he wrote this psalm, wants us to notice something. Look what he says. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the rules of the Lord. He wants us to notice something. He wants us to notice that God has spoken. Now, if you were writing as David was in his day, I want you to notice something. The only written word that David would have had at this time is the book of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The first five books of our Old Testament, right? And he says, of that book, those five books, the Pentateuch is what we call it. He says of that, this is the word of the Lord. Now, there may well have been the oral tradition of Joshua and Judges at this time. But David would be operating from that basis because God was speaking and the full canon of the word of God had not quite come into being. In actual fact, the wisdom literature wasn't there. David, as the psalmist, was writing big screeds of it under the inspiration of the Spirit. The prophets weren't there. And the New Testament, which you and I love and very often is our go-to, was not there either. But all of that, because the New Testament says it, all Scripture is God-breathed. So everything is breathed out by God. And so we can apply what David says to the whole of the revelation of the Word of God. But look what he says about it. He says, the law of the Lord, the statutes, what God has decreed, the testimony of the Lord. That is, it is God, the one who is trustworthy and reliable. The precepts of the Lord, the counsel of God, the commandment of the Lord. Because He is God, He has the authority, you and I should do it. Right? The fear of the Lord. And there he's conjuring up awe and majesty and wonder and worship. You know, that's why the worship leaders love to sing out of the Word of God. The rules of the Lord. That's not guidelines. This is clear instruction as to how you and I ought to live. And look what he says about this. He says the Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is sure. The Word of God is right. The Word of God is pure. The Word of God is clean. The Word of God is true. Why should you and I spend time every day in the Word of God? Because God has spoken. And everything God says is reliable, trustworthy, true, right. In actual fact, when you and I spend time in it, it is to our blessing and it is to our benefit. So, you know, if you need a reason for being in the Word of God, then David gives us that reason. And I want you to notice just a few simple things he says about the Word of God. He said, the Word of God brings life, and that life is eternal. Now, I'll show you where he says that in just a moment. Think about the number of Bibles that you have access to. If you've got access to a computer, You can go online, you can hit in something like Bible Gateway, and you will have access to every conceivable Bible and translation you like. So if you've got access to a computer, you've not just got one Bible, you've got the Bible in so many different translations, right? And there it is, right? So there's no excuse. We can click, because let's be honest, we spend a lot of time on there, right? You can click, and up comes the Bible, and the ESV, the NIV, the Message, you know, the New American Standard, the New King James, every version you like is there, right? And we've got it. Not only that, if you've got your phone, and your phone's got internet access, and who doesn't have a phone that's got internet access these days, right, that's not got it? One or two, can I say there are one or two who are going against the grain, and how right you are, right? Because those with the ones that, you know, get internet access, they spend too much time on them, right? And it's not in the Word. They just spend too much time on text, on WhatsApp, on every other kind of social media platform, and they're very rarely actually using it for the Word of God. But at the end of the day, you know, they spend oodles of time on it. In actual fact, sometimes when I look at the volume of WhatsApps that come in, if we spent even that time reading God's Word, we'd be much richer for it. But at the end of the day, you know, folks, you know, if they get access to that, they've got access to the Word. Many of us are blessed to have Bibles like this in our house and in different translations. Because if you're like me, you've been a Christian since the days when the RSV, you know, was the one. You know, Kevin or Lane probably recognize with that, right? When the RSV, it was the Authorized, then it was the RSV, then it was the NIV, then it was the ESV, right? And so we'll get every one of those translations, you know, sitting somewhere around the house. The point is not having them. The point is reading them. And the psalmist says that the Word of God brings life, and the life that the Word of God gives is eternal. Look what he says here, verse 7. It's the Word of God that revives the soul. It is the Word of God, verse 9, that endures forever. It is the Word of God that is righteous altogether. And so what he says is, I want to give you life, and I want to give you life, life eternal. And I do that in my spoken word, and I do that in Jesus, who is the Word himself. It's incredible, right? This is life, life eternal. The spoken out, the breathed word of God, and Jesus himself, obviously, the ultimate revelation of that. So why should you read the word every day? Because it brings you life, and the life that he brings is life eternal. I love that little phrase, reviving the soul. In all probability, the reason I saw wild deer this morning is that they were coming down because they were hungry, because they were thirsty, because they were looking to get something. They were deeply longing to be satisfied. And of course, the Bible actually uses that imagery. As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. And again, it's that picture right at the start. How thirsty, how hungry are we for who God is and for all that God has spoken, for the life that he wants to speak into us. And he speaks it through his word into our hearts. Now, the Word of God not only brings life, but the Word of God brings wisdom, and it's wisdom to live by. The Hebrew word for wisdom was a word that was, you can put this into practice on your daily life. And so we look at it here. Look what it says there, verse 7. The testimony of the Lord makes wise the simple. Later on, verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And what God wants us to do is he wants to give us instruction. He wants to give us command. He wants to give us teaching that if we put into practice will help us to live as God longs for us to live. You know, mankind does a very foolish thing. Mankind tries to understand man by starting with man. That's what mankind does. You know, look at all the studies that are in the world. Anthropology, psychology, philosophy. What we do in all of those things is we start with man. Man trying to understand himself by starting with himself. In actual fact, the Bible turns around and says you will only understand man when you get theology. You start with God. And you realize why we've been created. You realize why we've been made. You realize whose we are and who we should serve. And God speaks And he longs to give us instruction. He longs to give us wisdom to live our lives by. He longs to give us light for our darkness. He longs, and we were celebrating that at Christmas, weren't we? That God longs, as it were, to lead us in ways that will be for our blessing and be for our benefit. And then, lastly, the word brings lasting blessing and joy. Look what he says right at the beginning when he says the law of the Lord is perfect. He says reviving the soul. Verse 8, the counsel of the Lord is right, rejoicing the heart. Later on, he talks about it being sweeter than honey and more precious than gold. How many of us, in actual fact, would place the word of God and the fact that God has given it and speaks it into our heart way above our bank accounts? But the reality is there are many who in actual fact live for the multiplication of things to the neglect of that word. And in actual fact, he says, this is more desirable than gold. He says, this is sweeter than honey. And all of us have a satisfaction. In the heart of man, there is a desire to be satisfied beyond the contentment that material or relational things can give us. And God says, it is my word that will give to you that blessing, that eternal joy that will satisfy you at the very deepest place. In other words, you will only find true contentment and true joy when you find yourself in a living relationship with God. I said during our Christmas series in Advent that Oswald Chambers said, man cannot find true essential joy anywhere but in his relationship to God. The only place that you'll find true essential joy is in relationship to God. Now, that doesn't mean you won't have fleeting moments of happiness and things that you like. Of course we will. That's part of the blessing of God as well. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. But the word of God, that being with God, listening for God, brings to us a blessing and a joy that we will not find any other place. And what I simply want to do is encourage us to be a people who will make 2021 a year when every day we will be in the Word. And it does not matter what way you do that. You know, one of the things that I do over the last couple of years I've been doing this is I like to buy some of the staff members, or all of the staff members actually, in terms of the ministry team, a book. This year, in actual fact, some of them get different books because one of the books I'd already bought a few people at earlier on, such was its impact upon me. Early on in the year, I read a book called Gentle and Lowly, and you've heard me reference that before. It was written by a guy called Dale Ortland, and it's a fabulous book. And one or two of the staff, I hadn't given them that book, and so they got that book. But some of the other staff, that already had that book, I gave them a different one. I gave them a book by John Newton. Now, you might know John Newton. John Newton is the hymn writer, famous for being the hymn writer of Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. And John Newton wrote that very well because he had been a slave trader. He'd lived an appalling, immoral life. But he encountered Jesus in his word, and his life was utterly transformed. And John Newton, although he wrote a hymn, in fact, he used to write a hymn every week. Another challenge, Russell, he used to write a hymn a week for the midweek meeting. Him and William Cowper, William Cowper is the spelling of it, used to write a hymn every week for their midweek meeting. And Amazing Grace was one of them. But John Newton, in actual fact, didn't only write Amazing Grace. He wrote all manner of incredible truths about God's Word. He would study God's Word, and then he would write down all the thoughts she was having out of God's word. And so he would do that on a regular basis. He became a great pastor, a great preacher. And in actual fact, there's a four-volume set that the Banner of Truth produce of John Newton's writings that I'm coveting. They're on, you know, the musicians look for guitars and pianos. I just look for more books. But the reality is, it's all of his writings. But this year, I bought a number of the staff a little daily devotion in John Newton. And every day, there's a little text of Scripture and then the thoughts that he's had from that text of Scripture. In fact, on January the 1st, the text of Scripture was Psalm 23, verse 1. But literally, it was only, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he wrote down, "The Lord is my shepherd." And you should see all the things that came to his mind as he reflected on that. January the 2nd, he wrote down a little verse from Luke chapter 1, and it was, "Behold the Lamb of God." And you should see all the things that he had to write about "Behold the Lamb of God." In fact, the devotion that the staff got doesn't even come close. But you see, John Newton is just like you and me. John Newton is just a saved sinner. That's what he is. Notice I say he is. Not that he was. He's died. He's now in glory, but he still very much is. Because that's the truth of those who've got the blessing and benefit of the salvation of God. And he would just take some time each day to read God's word, to write it down, and to think upon it. You know, there's nothing to stop us having a devotional that people would want to read, because you've sat with the word of God and written what God has spoken into your hearts and lives. When the word of God becomes sweeter than honey, when the word of God becomes more precious than gold. And my prayer is that in 2021, it would be so for us. I want you to notice something in this just as we close in Psalm 19. We don't often think about converted people in the Old Testament, but David was very much a converted man. Look what it says, verse 12. "Who can discern his errors?" He's a man under conviction. "Who can declare me innocent from hidden faults? Where do I find forgiveness? Who can keep me back from presumptuous sins and make sure that they don't have dominion over me? Who can help me to live a holy life? God." And as I meditate upon all the ways in which God has spoken, as I apply his word to my life, then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Look at what he says in closing. "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." But look at the words he then uses. "O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Is your starting point not that Jesus is our Lord, that he is our rock, that he is our redeemer, that we are a converted people, that we are a saved people? And saved people meditate on the word of God. And they listen to what God is saying. And they seek to put it into practice. Well, let's pray together.